Today's shiur, Masechet Maariv Katan Daf Tes. We will begin on Daf Tes Amud Aleph, six lines from the bottom. In our previous shiur, we had learned that one may not get married on Chol HaMoed. And the Gemara gave a number of reasons as to why. And one of the reasons the Gemara gave was because Eima Arvin Simcha B'Simcha. We're not allowed to combine Simchas. So our Gemara, today's shiur, begins to discuss this concept. Ask the Gemara, the Eima Arvim Simcha B'Simcha Menolon. How do we know that that is indeed prohibited to combine Simchas? Says the Gemara, the Ksib, because the Pasuk says that the Simcha, that Klal Yisrael experienced after Shlomo HaMelech inaugurated the Beis HaMikdash. And the Pasuk says, V'yash Shlomo Beis HaHiyas HaChag, and at that time Shlomo HaMelech celebrated Chag Sukkos. V'chol Yisrael imay kol gadol, a huge crowd. M'voy chamas ad nachal Mitzrayim. V'fnei Hashem Elokeinu shivis yamim, 14 days abos yoyim. That means that they made the simcha for the new Beis Hamikdash 14 days, 7 days before Sukkos, and 7 days during, and then they were there for the 7 days of Sukkos. Points out the Gemara. If the halacha indeed is the ma'arvin simcha b'simcha, that we're allowed to combine different simchas, iboy le'leminta, says the Gemara, they should have waited at a chag. They should have waited until Sukkos to make the celebration. Or ma'avid shiva l'hacha l'hacha, and to make both celebrations at the same time. The celebration of the Beis HaMikdash should have been done simultaneously to the Simcha of the Sukkos. Why do they have to make two separate celebrations? From here we see that you only make one, you can't combine celebrations. And as Tosfos explains, Klal Yisrael would have been oilel regel anyway, because when Sukkos comes, of course, the halacha is that we have to be oil regal. So if we can combine simchas, the halacha ought to be that they should have done both at the same time. The fact that they weren't done at the same time, clearly indication they were not allowed to combine simchas. The Mashah explains that, as we're going to learn in our Gemara, that year they ended up not fasting on Yom Kippur, because they had to make the celebration, as we're about to learn, for the inauguration of the Beis HaMikdash. But if we can make two simchas at the same time, says the Mashah, they should have made both simchas at the time of the inauguration of the Beis HaMikdash, at the time of Sukkos, and there would be no reason to not fast that Yom Kippur that year. Says the Gemara, maybe the halacha is the dimaloy mintalei matrina. We don't delay making a simcha. However, ve'eched esrami avdinan. It's not, suggests the Gemara, that we're not allowed to make two simchas at the same time. They can make two simchas at the same time. Here, they cannot make the two simchas at the same time because the simcha of the inauguration of the Beis HaMikdash had already come. And once the time comes, it may not be delayed. Answers the Gemara, Ibaile Lashir Purta. If that was the reason, they could have left over not finishing the entire Beis HaMikdash and then have the Sukkos and the inauguration coincide. Answers the Gemara, Shura Binya Beis HaMikdash Le Misharinen. We never hold off the building of the Beis HaMikdash. If the Beis HaMikdash is ready, we immediately make the Beis HaMikdash. But says the Shailos HaTshuva Shoyel HaMeishiv, that this is a special halacha by the Beis HaMikdash. If the Beis HaMikdash is ready to be built, is ready to be inaugurated, we immediately finish it and inaugurate the Beis HaMikdash. In other places, this halacha doesn't apply. And he says it to a halacha that's most relevant. A person, is one allowed to delay making a siyum to have the siyum done at a better time? And the Shoyel HaMeishiv says, a siyum mesechta may be delayed. But the Shas HaTshuvas Nishal David explains that's only if by delaying the making the siyum, some will have a bigger simcha, there'll be more kavra Torah. But if we just want to delay the siyum for no special reason, one should not delay the siyum on a masechta. And the reason why Binyan Beis HaMikdash lo mesharinan, because it's a terrible embarrassment, they should delay the building the Beis HaMikdash. So I saw the Achronim ask, we just discussed the other day in Masechta Megillah that the Binyan of the Mishkan was really ready on Chaf Hei Kislev. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them to delay the inauguration of the Binyan Beis HaMikdash, the Binyan HaMishkan, until Rosh Chodesh Nissan. So we see that even though we're speaking about the building of a Mishkan, the halacha is that we did delay it. So why are we saying that we don't delay a Binyan of a Mishkan? So I saw that the Rishonim respond, the Marit Vail responds, he says, the Binyan Beis HaMikdash, the Binyan HaMishkan, the Mishkan was closed up. And since it was closed up, it wasn't obvious that they were delaying it. Here, it was obvious that they were delaying. It would have been obvious that you had this beautiful building that was ready to be used and was being delayed. Tosfos quotes that there's another source how we know that we don't delay and we're not ma'arav simcha b'simcha, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the pasuk tells us that Lavan did not let Yaakov get married to Rachel until Malei Shavuah Zois, until the week of the Sheva Brachos was over. So we see from here that the halacha is that one should not delay making a simcha. Furthermore, I saw that Rav Gershon Edelstein asked Rav Chaim Kamyevsky a very interesting shaila. We just learned that the siyum, when one makes a siyum, it's a tremendous simcha. And not only that, that we learn that if there's a purpose, there's a constructive purpose in delaying the siyum, one may delay making a siyum. So the question that Rav Gershon Edelstein Shlita asked Rav Chaim Kanyevsky Shlita is that if somebody made a siyum Erev Pesach in the morning, the halacha is that, and then, so he's allowed to eat. Not only is he allowed to eat, the halacha is he's supposed to eat. The question that he asked him was, so he ate breakfast with that siyum. Now it comes Erev Pesach lunch. But he made a siyum in the morning. Can he rely on the siyum that he attended in the morning to eat lunch in the afternoon? So Chaim Kanyevsky said that our Gemara is a raya that you could rely on one siyum that was done. He says, let's think about what Shlomo HaMelech did. What Shlomo HaMelech did was that he waited, that he made the inauguration of the Beis HaMikdash. The inauguration took whatever. They inaugurated the Beis HaMikdash. Yet the entire 7 days were considered one continuation of that simcha. So he says that certainly if somebody waited to make, certainly if somebody made a siyum in the morning, and that day is a day of simcha because he made the siyum in the morning, the entire day is a siyum, and he of course does not have to make another siyum in the afternoon. So here we're learning the concept of Eima Arvin Simcha B'Simcha. So I saw a question. If that's the case, are we allowed to make Achnosus Sefer Torah on Chol HaMoed? Achnosus Sefer Torah, of course, is a tremendous simcha. And why is there no concern of Ein Ma'arvin Simcha B'Simcha? So Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach and the Achlicha Shlomo says that when we're saying that we're not allowed to be Ma'arv Simcha B'Simcha, is a private simcha. But the simcha of a Sefer Torah being brought into a shul is a simcha of the tzibur. And he wants to suggest that that has a different rule, and it's not the simcha of an individual, and there's no concern of Eirim Arvin Simcha B'Simcha, which is a chiddush, because if we look at our Gemara is speaking about the simcha of the inauguration of the Beis HaMikdash. And certainly the simcha of the inauguration of the Beis HaMikdash is also a simcha of the tzibur. Yet our Gemara is using that simcha of as a raya of Eima Arvin Simcha B'Simcha. So the only heta perhaps that one could suggest why we're allowed to do a Hechnasa Sefer Torah on Chol HaMoed is maybe only in a shul that needs the Sefer Torah. Perhaps it's a shul that needs the Sefer Torah for Simchas Torah. We know that shuls need many Sefer Torah for Simchas Torah, for the Kriyas HaTorah, for the Hakafis. But if we don't have that type of a situation, it's not obvious that one can make Hechnasa Sefer Torah on Chol HaMoed. On the other hand, there's a very big discussion. We know that the minig is that typically when we make Hechnasa Sefer Torah, people also write letters at the end of the Sefer Torah. And the Aruch HaShulchan discusses that one is not allowed to write a letter. As we're learning in our Masechta, working Chol HaMoed is certainly something that one should not do. And therefore, the halacha is that one should avoid writing the letters, says Aruch HaShulchan. If you're going to have a Hechnasa Sefer Torah on Chol HaMoed, the way the Hechnasa Sefer Torah should be done is that the letters should have been written before Chol HaMoed, before Sukkot. Whoever wants to write a letter should do it before Yontif. I did, however, see that the Steich Hamed quotes the Beis Yitzchak. He says that very often when we write letters in a Sefer Torah, the way the letters are written in the Sefer Torah is not that the people who are writing the letters actually write each letter. Rather, the cipher makes the outline of the letter, and the person who's writing the letter only fills in the letter. Since only filling in the letter, the halacha is that that's why it's not considered an act of writing, and maybe it may be performed on Chol HaMoed. Our Gemara teaches us that certainly the Chanukah Sabayis of the Beis HaMikdash was considered a Simcha. And that's why we learn from here the whole concept of Eima Arvim Simcha B'Simcha. And therefore the Paiskim say that certainly a Chanukah Beis HaKnesses, which as we learned, every Beis HaKnesses is a Mikdash Ma'at, is a time for Simcha. And one should make a Chanukah Beis HaKnesses. The Shas HaTshuvah of Hushay Mordechai says that it's certainly considered a Simcha. Similarly, I saw the Paisk, the Magen Avraham, quotes the Yamsha Shloima, that if somebody has the schus of buying and inaugurating a home in Eretz Yisrael, Mitzvah Yishuv Eretz Yisrael also warrants that we should make a Simcha. And of course, a very, very important simcha is when somebody makes a siyum, as we discussed before, making a siyum, a mesechta, just like Shlomo Melech made a tremendous simcha when he finished the Beis HaMikdash. If somebody makes a siyum, a mesechta, the halacha is it's considered a sudas mitzvah, up to the degree that the Mashal wants to suggest that when a simchas siyum is made, and we say birchas hamazon, just like when we say birchas hamazon at a brachas, we say hasimcha b'mayna. The halacha is that when we make a siyum on a mesechta, we should also say hasimcha b'mayna. But yet the minig Yisrael is that we don't say it, and since it's a minig not to say it, one should never change menhagim and never say hasimcha b'mayna by siyum mesechta. But I did see that Rav Shach reports that when in Europe in the litter, he said that if they were making a siyum mesechta, all the women of the community would participate in cooking and baking to celebrate the tremendous simcha, and everybody would wear yontif clothing, a siyum mesechta, as we're seeing now, when they finished building the Beis HaMikdash, it was a simcha. Making a siyum mesechta is also considered a tremendous simcha. So the Sefer Iyun Yaakov asks that we've learned in our shiur, we've said there were two sources for making a siyum. One is what we're learning in our Gemara, that Shlomo Melech made a siyum at the end of the building of the Beis HaMikdash, and the other is that that's how we learn Eim Arvim Simcha B'Simcha, and the other is from Malei Shvuah Zois by Yaakov Avinu. Why do we have to have two such halachas? So the Iyun Yaakov says that if we only had the pasuk by Yaakov Avinu or Malei Shvuah Zois, we would say that the reason we can't combine the two simchas is because the two sisters or the two wives are becoming tsaris to each other. They're becoming co-wives. which is never a wonderful situation. So that's why Eima Arvin Simcha B'Simcha. That's why we have the Pasuk of Shlomo Melech. But if we had the Pasuk of Shlomo Melech, explains Leon Yaakov, we would perhaps suggest that only when it's a situation that the two Simchas are the same, are two different types of Simcha. One is the Simcha of Yontif, Sukkis, and one is the Simcha for the making of the Beis HaMikdash. But when the two Simchas are two different type of Simchas, maybe they may, who are the same type of Simcha, two Sheva Brachas, they may be combined, Kamash one, that even if they're the same type of Simcha, they may not be combined. But then I saw that the Lubavitcher Rebbe asks a question, that the rule typically is, Ein Lamedim Mikoidim Matan Torah, that we don't learn Halacha from something that took place before Kabbalah Satorah. So this, Malei Shvu Azois, asked the Lubavitcher Rebbe, took place before Kabbalah Satorah. So if it took place before Kabbalah Satorah, how could it serve as a source for Halacha? And perhaps that's why our Gemara didn't teach it to us. So the Lubavitcher Rebbe says, this, when we learn the Halacha of Eim Lamedim, Mikoidim Matan Torah, is a Halacha we can't learn from before Matan Torah. But when we're speaking in our sugya about the concept Eima Arvin Simcha B'Simcha, what is the reason Eima Arvin Simcha B'Simcha? Because the halacha is that every simcha has to be given its own opportunity and given the own opportunity to do it right. So since every simcha is supposed to be done properly and given its proper attention, that isn't necessarily, says the Lubavitcher Rebbe, a halachic concept. That's a concept of how what's our attitude supposed to be to mitzvahs. When the Torah is teaching us an attitude, how we are supposed to approach a mitzvah, there it doesn't make a difference before Matan Torah or after Matan Torah. To teach what is the proper attitude to mitzvahs, that we can learn even from before Matan Torah as well. But ask the Gemara. We said that why did Shlomo HaMelech have to make the simcha of the building of the Beis HaMikdash then? Because the Beis HaMikdash was ready. But ask the Gemara, Ibarei Leil Shiuri Ba'am Mekal Ya'ariv. On the top of the Beis HaMikdash, explains Rashi, the roof of the Beis HaMikdash came to a point, which was an Amah wide. And they were concerned that the Arvim should not rest on top of that area. It's disgraceful to the Beis HaMikdash. Tosfos explains that the concern was that they may bring something which is Tumah. The other Rishonim explain they may bring something which is dirty, and therefore the halacha is that they put on top of it a board with spikes, which would prevent the birds from resting there. So the halacha is, as Tosfos explains, that isn't really considered an integral part of the Beis HaMikdash. So yes, an integral part of the Beis HaMikdash, we may not delay, but this is maybe not considered an integral part of the Beis HaMikdash, so we could wait to do it until Sukkos, and then do both together. Says the Gemara, that's incorrect. Just like the rest of the Beis HaMikdash, all of it was absolutely necessary. The Kaya Oyrev is an integral part of the Beis HaMikdash. And that's why we had to build it and couldn't delay it. And that's why Shlomo HaMelech made the inauguration then. But how do we know that if they would actually have coincided, there's a rule of Eima Arvin B'Simcha B'Simcha. Says the Gemara, the reason we know it is with the Asakar. There's an extra pasuk. The pasuk says, Michtik Siv, that the celebration, as we spoke about earlier, was for a total of Abba Asuyoyim. So why did the pasuk have to repeat Shivas Yom v'Shivas Yom Lomeli? Why did the pasuk have to repeat that it was 7 days plus 7 days? Shema Mina, to teach us that each celebration had to be done separately. Hani L'chud v'Hani L'chud, every simcha had to be separately. Says the Gemara, Amar Aparnach, Amar Abyochan, Ba'is Hashanah, La'as Yisrael, Yom Kippurim. That year, Klal Yisrael did not keep Yom Kippur, because, as we just said, those 7 days before Sukkot, which Yom Kippur is one of the days before Sukkot, they made the celebration for the building of the Beis HaMikdash. And says the Gemara, V'yadayi givu omrim, and they were concerned, saying Shem Nischayv is the name she Yisrael Kliya. Maybe the Chayiv Kurus, because we know if somebody doesn't keep Yom Kippur, the Chayiv Kurus. Yotza Baskel Varmalhem, the Baskel came out and announced, Kulchem Muzumanim L'chaya Olam Haba. You have nothing to be concerned. All of you will have Yom Chaya Olam Haba. There's nothing to be concerned. So I saw that the Mefarshim ask, how could they indeed not keep Yom Kippur? Yom Kippur is a Chiv Daraisa. And how could they, just because they're inaugurating the Beis HaMikdash, take away Yom Kippur? So I saw that the Sefer Sipuri Tzadikim brings a pshat. He says, the Gemara Masech to Shabbos, Taf Kuf Yud Ches Amabei says, Kolam Anix HaShabbos, anyone who celebrates Shabbos, he's given a territory without any borders. What does that mean? So he explains that under normal circumstances, if somebody eats and drinks, so his body enjoys it, but not his neshama. If somebody fasts, his neshama enjoys it, but not his body. So everything has its own borders. The guf has its enjoyment, the neshama has its enjoyment. However, when somebody eats and drinks l'shem mitzvah, then both the neshama and the guf enjoy. On Yom Kippur, they explain, it's a day for the neshama. And since it's a day for the neshama, that's why the neshama should not eat and drink. That's what the neshama enjoys. But when the eating and drinking is for the purpose of neshama, is for the purpose of ruchnius, for the building of the Beis HaMikdash, then there's no problem. You could eat and drink, and it will be considered as if you actually performed Yom Kippur properly. Says the Gemara Midrash. Says the Gemara, how did Shlomo HaMelech come to that conclusion that they were allowed to avoid fasting that Yom Kippur? Says the Gemara, Amar Kal V'Chomer. They made the following Kal V'Chomer. Umam Mishkan, if we look at the Mishkan, Ein Kedushas HaKedushas Olam. The Mishkan was only there for the 40 years that they were in the Midbar. And after the Mishkan, they left the Midbar, they were allowed to bring Kabbanis on a Boma. And Karban Yochid. The Kabbanis that were brought at the inauguration of the Mishkan were Kabbanis Yochid that each Nasi brought. Still, it was Doicha Shabbos. They brought the Kabbanis even on Shabbos. So certainly, which is an Issa Skila, it won't violate Shabbos, his Rechman Atzom B'mezid, his Chayiv Skila. So certainly the Migdash, which is Kedushas HaKedushas Olam, the halacha is that after the Beis HaMikdash was built, never were Bamas permitted again. And furthermore, the Kabbanis that were brought during that inauguration were Kabban Tzibur. And Yom Kippur is less of a serious sin because violation of Yom Kippur is only an Anishkaris like Kashkein. Certainly, we'll have to violate Yom Kippur for the building of the Beis HaMikdash. So I saw that. Why doesn't the Gemara mention that they didn't eat Erev Yom Kippur that year? We know eating Erev Yom Kippur is a mitzvah as well. So I saw, and we've discussed this, why is there a mitzvah to eat Erev Yom Kippur? The reason there's a mitzvah to eat an Erev Yom Kippur is because Erev Yom Kippur is a time of we're going to fast on Yom Kippur. But that year, they weren't fasting on Yom Kippur. And since they weren't fasting for an Erev Yom Kippur, that they weren't fasting Yom Kippur, they didn't have to eat an Erev Yom Kippur. So the question is that I saw that the Sefik Emek Bracha asks, the Kabbanis that were brought by the Chanukah Samizbeach were a one-time event. How do we learn from that one-time event to all future generations? So he answers that we are not to look at the inauguration of the Mishkan as a one-time event. The way we're supposed to look at the inauguration of the Mishkan is that it's something that lasts forever. Every time we inaugurate a Mishkan, a place of Kedusha, as we learned earlier, the halacha is that we're supposed to make a celebration. Ella, so if that's the case, amai ha'yadagim, why were they so concerned that they ate that year in Yom Kippur? Answers the Gemara, hasam, by the Mishkan, The kabbanis they brought and the violation of Shabbos was tzair kavaya. They were bringing kabbanis to Shamayim. Hacha, they were eating the food at home. Everybody ate and drank, and that's why they were concerned, because it was a tzair chedjet. Says the Gemara, Hachanami. So maybe indeed, during the simcha of the inauguration of the Beis HaMikdash, Mevid Le'evdu, they should have brought kabbanis in that celebration, even on Yom Kippur. However, they should indeed not be allowed to eat and drink, because that's a tzarech yachid. Answers the Gemara, ain't simcha b'lay achila v'shtiya. If you're not going to have a achila shtiya along with your simcha, then it's not considered that you truly had a simcha. And if they were going to have a simcha, they had to have a achila v'shtiya come along with it. Says the Gemara, Gemara goes back that we said that when the Nesim brought the Kabbanis by the Chanukas of Mishkan, they were Mechal Shabbos. Ask the Gemara, Mishkan, the Dokhi Shabbos Menolon, how do we know that indeed happened? Elaim Mediksiv, B'yoyim Arishon, as we know, the Pasuk in Parashas Nasai lists all the days. And it says on the first day, the Nasi brought the carbon, and then it says, Nasi Yehuda, B'yoyim Shvi, Nasi L'mei Ephraim. So it seems to indicate that they brought Kabbanis on Shabbos. Says, well, who says that that's what happened? Dilma, it was Shvi LeKabbanis. It was the seventh day Kabbanis were brought, but it was not on a Shabbos. Says the Gemara, Amar Nachma Yitzchak, Amar Kora B'yoyim Ashtei Asu Yoyim. Says the Gemara, the Pasuk says, B'yoyim Ashtei Asu Yoyim. And there's an extra word Yoyim in that Pasuk to teach us, Ma Yoyim Kula Rotzof. When we look at a day is one long day. Af Ashtei Asu Yoyim, so too, all the 11 days were Tzufim, were consecutive days with no break. Even on Shabbos, they brought the Kabbanis. And in fact, we learned in Masechta Tanis that if they were fasting because there was no rain, the Gemara Masechta Tanis taught us that they said Hallel when it started to rain, but they only said Hallel, we learned in Masechta Tanis, in the afternoon. Why did they wait till the afternoon? Because they should first go home and eat and drink, and only after somebody eats and drink is it possible to say Hallel properly. Ask the Gemara, why is this Pasuk clearly compelling that they brought Kabbanis even on Shabbos? Ask the Gemara, Demo Yom Haruyim. They brought the Kabbanis on consecutive days, but only days that were fitting to bring a carbon. For example, weekdays, but not Shabbos. Answers the Gemara, Ksiv Kra Achrina. There's another Pasuk. The Pasuk says, B'yoyim Shnei Masu Yoyim, Nosliv Nev Telem. To teach us, Ma Yoyim Kula Rotzov, when we look at a day, it's 24 consecutive hours. Av Shnei Masu Yoyim, Kulam Ritzufim. But ask the Gemara again, maybe we should interpret that Pasuk, but Dim Hachanami, Yom Haroyim, only on days when a carbon can be brought. But on days that a carbon cannot be brought, Shabbos, they did not bring Kabbanis. Answers the Gemara, if that's what the Pasuk is teaching us, you can trade Kralamali. Why does the Pasuk have to teach us the same halacha twice? The fact that the Pasuk says Yoyim twice is clearly an indication that every time that all 12 days, that all the days were consecutive. Ask the Gemara, but this that we're learning, that the Migdash is Doichi Yom Kippur Menolon, Imalayim Adiksiv, because as we learned earlier, the Pasuk says that they celebrated for 14 days, Shiva Yisham and Shiva Yisham Abbas Yoyim. So he said that's what the Pasuk is telling us. Again, ask the Gemara. But Dilma, what the Pasuk means to say is Yom Haruyim, on days that we could celebrate, those are the days that we celebrated. Yom Kippur is not such a day. Answers the Gemara, Gama Yom Yom Hasam. We learn Exer Shava. The Pasuk says Yoyim here by the Chanukas HaMikdash. The Pasuk says Yoyim by the Chanukas HaMishkan. Just like we just finished learning that the Chanukas HaMishkan was Doicha Shabbos, so too the Chanukas HaMikdash was Doicha Yom Kippur. And we learned that they all went home. The announcement was made. Yotze Baskov Amalem, Kulchem Bizmanim, L'chaya Olam Haba. Menolan Dachalu. And ask the Gemara, how do we indeed know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was meichel and forgave them for eating and drinking on Yom Kippur? Says the Gemara, the Tani Tachlifi. The Pasuk says, B'yayim HaShmini, Shilach HaSom, on the eighth day after the Chanukah space of Mikdash and Sukkot, Shlomo HaMelech sent them all home, V'yivaruch HaMelech, V'yelchu La'aleichem Smeichem V'tayv V'leiv, Akol HaToyva, Asha'asa HaShem L'Dover Avdoi, L'Yisrael Avmai. And the Gemara explains the pasuk. La'olechem shahochem matzon Hashem b'taro. They all went home and they found that their wives were tor, since and they did not have to refrain from having relations. Smechem shenenem ziv shechina. The fact that they were able to have, they were able to enjoy the shechina, there's no bigger simcha. V'tayv leiv, kolech v'echad nesabri ishtoi, every one of them wives became pregnant, b'ben zocher, with a ben zocher. And as the Mefarshim explained, the Pasuk says that when Moshe Rabbeinu was born, the Pasuk says, ki toivhu, that they saw he was toiv. So we see that when a boy is born, the Pasuk uses the word toiv. A call a toiva, shiyotsu baskova arma lahem, kulchem muzumanim l'chayu oylem ba. All of you will be zoich to chayu oylem ba. And there's a wonderful story with the Mashah. The Mashah had a yeshiva. And the Mashah built a new building for the yeshiva. And they were having the laying of the cornerstone. And when they were laying the cornerstone, they auctioned off the schus, the privilege, somebody to lay the cornerstone. There was a person who was not that wealthy of a person. He went over to the gabbai who was doing the auction, and he says, I'm prepared to spend whatever amount of money to have that cornerstone laid to pay for it. And that's what happened. And he paid a tremendous sum of money. And when it came to give the honor of laying the cornerstone, he went over to the gabbai and he asked the gabbai to give that honor to the mashah himself. But the gabbai was told by this person, I want this all to be kept anonymous. The mashah, after this tremendous simcha, calls in the person, calls in his gabbai, and he asks, could you please tell me who gave me this honor? I want to give me a thank you. So he says, the person wanted it to be anonymous. So mashah said, please ask that person if he's willing that I should know who was the individual that bought it on my behalf. So the gabbai went back to that person and he asked the mashah wants to know, are you prepared that I could tell the mashah that it was you? He said, yes. The mashah was told, and the mashah asked that he would like to meet this person. The person came with his wife, and the mashah right away saw that this wasn't such a wealthy individual, yet he had spent a tremendous sum of money for this schus. And the mashah asked him, why did you do this? So he says that he and his wife never had children, and they were hoping in the schus of this tremendous mitzvah, a building, a makom Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would bless them with a son. And in the mashah says, it's going to happen. And the mashah said, not only will it happen, but in Mitzvah Shem, that boy will learn in this yeshiva. And that's exactly what happened. They went home, and a year later, they had a baby boy. When this boy became a bar mitzvah, they came to the yeshiva, and they said, this boy should come learn in the yeshiva. The administrator of the yeshiva said that in this yeshiva, they normally don't take boys that are that young, that are only 13 years old. So the father said, I'd like to go into the mashah with my son. As soon as they went into the mashah, and they told the mashah, this is the boy that you promised we will have, and you said we're learning this yeshiva, the mashah says, absolutely, I remember. He's registered. He's welcome to the yeshiva. And then they asked the mashah, we're so thankful to you. The mitzvah we did bore such wonderful results. But they asked him, how could have you been certain that we will have a son? So he says, I learned the Gemara Masechta Ma'id Katan. The Gemara Masechta Ma'id Katan says that all those who participated in the building and the inauguration of the Beis HaMikdash went home, smechem v'tuvei lev, and they all, their wives, became pregnant with a ben zocher. So he said, I knew that you will have the same schus as well. And that's indeed what happened. The pasuk continues saying, We understand what was the favor that happened to Klal Yisrael. Dochlu avon Yom Kippurim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was meichel them for violating Yom Kippur. Elo David avdei mahi. What was the toiva for David HaMelech? Says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Merav. B'shoa Shabiki Shleim Alachnas Aron L'Migdosh. When Shleim HaMelech wanted to bring in the Aron to the base of Migdosh, Dofku Sharm Zelazer. The doors refused to open. The Medrash says that not only doors refused to open, between the width of the Aron and the people who were carrying the Aron, there was no way to enter through the doors. So Shlomo said, Esen v'abar unonis. Shlomo said, 24 prokim of tefillin v'loy neno. Pasach for Amisu Sharm Rasheichem. Then he began to say, Surim Sharm Rasheichem. And still, v'loy neno. Kim Shem Hashem al Kim, Atoshev Pnei Mishichecha. At that time, the doors opened up and the Aron was supposed to enter. David HaMelech's enemies, their faces became black, like the bottom of a pot. We remember the story of David and Bathsheba. And the enemies of David used to say that David HaMelech had relations with an Eishes Ish, which is really not the case, because the halach is that kol ha-yotze le-mechemes beis David, whoever goes to melchama would write a get to his wife. So they technically were not married, and this was the proof that David HaMelech had not done an aveira. So as the Gemara, Rabbi Yonasan ben Amsi, Rabbi Yehuda ben Gerim, Tana Parshas Nedarim, they were learning Masech Nedarim, Bei Rav Shim ben Yochai, and the Yeshiva of Shim ben Yochai, if them name be Urta, they left in the evening, the Tzafra in the morning, Hodvakam Miftim Renei, they wanted to take leave again. Amalahu, they came back to take leave again. Says the Gemara, he said to them, V'lav of Tiris Renei be Urta, didn't you already take leave from me yesterday evening? Why are you coming back? Amalai, Limtana Rabbeinu, you taught us, the Talmud Sheniftim Rabbi, if a Talmud takes leave from his Rebbe, V'lon Ba'ay Sa'ir, he stays overnight. Tzorach lemiftim imena pam achas. He has to take leave again. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, b'yoyim hashmini shilach es om v'yivarchu es hamelech. They went, and Shlomo HaMelech gave them permission to leave. V'ksiv, but then the pasuk says, u'b'yoyim eser v'shloish l'chodesh hashvi shalach shilach es ha'am. Why did they have to do it again? Al-Makan, from here we learn that a Talmud ha-Niftah mi-Rabbi, if a Talmud leaves his Talmud, leaves his Rebbe, v'lom ba-Yisir, tzorach li-Potem b'nei pa-Macheres. But the halach is only if you don't tell the Rebbe you're staying over. If you tell the Rebbe that you're staying over, then the Rebbe knows. Why? Because maybe something came up by night that you ought to know. And if you stay over, and the Rebbe knows you're staying over, then he'll call you to tell you. Amalei, so Rav Shimon Yochai told his son, Rabbi Lezer, B'nei Adam Alol, these people, Rabbi Yonasan ben Asamai, and Rabbi Yehuda ben Gerim, are Noshin Shatsura, are great people. Rashi explains, they're Chachamim. Others explain that they are people who are the leaders of Klal Yisrael. And therefore, it's appropriate Zil gabon de levruchecha. Go to them that you should get a bracha. Azel ashka de karama kra adadi. So he went and he found them asking a stira. Ksiv, the pasuk says in Mishlei, Pales magal draglecha v'chol druchecha yikainu. You have to examine what you're doing, what is a more important mitzvah and what is a less important mitzvah. And yet, on the other hand, it says, Arachayim pantafales, don't start judging mitzvahs. Whatever mitzvah you have the opportunity to do, do. So how do we reconcile these two psukim? Answers the Gemara like Kasha. Kam b'mitzvah she'afshal osoy sadei acherim, a mitzvah that can be done by others. So there, judge where is the better mitzvah to do. But b'mitzvah she'afshal osoy sadei acherim, so then whatever mitzvah you should take the opportunity to do. And the Sefer Das Chochma Mutzer explains that a person is supposed to use the opportunity in this life to grow. So if there's a mitzvah that only he could do, so then he should, that's obvious that it was meant for him to grow from that mitzvah. But If it's not that type of a mitzvah, then do whatever is more important. So this Gemara is the basis for a famous question that the Ratvaz and the Chacham Tzvi discuss. The Ratvaz was asked, there was somebody who was in jail, and he was given a day that he could have a furlough. So should he take the first day that he has available? Or maybe he should wait for Yom Kippur, for Purim, where those are days that he should daven b'minyan. So the Ratvaz said that he should take the first opportunity. The Chacham Tzvi disagrees. But the Chacham Tzvi says that there's a gevaldige raya to the Ratvaz's opinion from our Gemara. Our Gemara says, b'mitzvah she'efshe la'asos o'idei acherim. If you have a mitzvah that somebody can't do, somebody else can't do, you should take the first opportunity. So if you have an opportunity to daven today b'minyan, and even though it's at the expense that maybe you won't be able to do it at another time, take the opportunity to do the mitzvah that you can do. Yasvi, how did Yasvi come by? Ksiv, it says regarding Divrei Torah, Yikari mepnim v'kol chavetzecha liyashvabah. There's nothing more valuable than Torah. Hachefetz shemayim, when we speak about Divrei Mitzvah, Yishvabah, and they're equal to Torah. And the halacha, therefore, is that one should be mevatel Torah in order to do a mitzvah. But then it says, one should not be mevatel Torah. He should do Torah. Answers, the Gemara, it depends. Can the mitzvah she'efshel la'asos o'idei acherim? If a mitzvah that other people could do, then you shouldn't do it, you should learn Torah. Can a mitzvah she'efshel la'asos o'idei acherim? If it's a mitzvah that other people can't do, then you should do the mitzvah. Why? And as all the Mefarshim explain, as much as there's a mitzvah to learn Torah, and as much as Talmud Torah is connected kulam as we're learning, and there's a rule of oisik b'mitzvah, potam in a mitzvah, that isn't said by Talmud Torah. And the reason why it wasn't said by Talmud Torah is I saw a number of reasons. One explanation is because the purpose of Talmud Torah is in order to fulfill the mitzvahs. So if we're going to learn Torah and not fulfill the mitzvahs, then we've missed the boat of learning Torah. Another pshat is that we're supposed to learn Torah all of the time. So if learning Torah will overtake doing all other mitzvahs, so then we'll never be able to do a mitzvah. And of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to do mitzvahs. And therefore, if there's no other way to do the mitzvah, the halach is do the mitzvah even at the expense of learning Torah. Says the Gemara Amalei, so they asked him, Ma ba'as hocha. These Rabbi Yehuda ben Asamei, Rabbi Yehuda ben Geri asked Rabbi Lazar, what are you doing here? Amalei, so he says, Amalei abba zil gabay de levrochecho. My father said I should come to you, that you should give me a bracha. Amalei, so they told him, Yei rava de tezra v'loy techzad. You should plant, but not cut. Tayel v'loy tepuk. You should bring business, but you shouldn't sell it. Tepuk, you should spend money v'loy tayel, but you shouldn't be able to bring anything home. Licher beisach, your home should be destroyed. V'leisef espuzach, you should live in a temporary dwelling. Levavul besorach, your table should be messy. V'leitachzach shata charita, and you shouldn't see a new year. So of course, this is a very difficult Gemara to understand. And says the Gemara, Ki osla gabavua, when he came back to his father, Amalei, he said to his father, Loi mibayi, the bruch alai, not only did they not give me a bracha, they actually made me feel bad. But the Mefarshim point out, look at the words that he used. He used the words, they made me feel bad. He didn't say they cursed me, because at first glance, it actually looks like they cursed him. So Mefarshim say, they did this very deliberately. They wanted him not to understand the bracha. Because by not understanding the bracha, what will happen is they knew he'll come to his father and the father will interpret the bracha. So it'll turn out that they'll get a double bracha. They'll get a bracha that they gave them, which as the Gemara is going to explain in a moment, it was a bracha. And also the father, Rav Shimon ben Yochai, by interpreting the bracha, will also be giving them a bracha. So they purposely gave the bracha in such a way that he'll end up with a dover bracha. But the Yisach Moshe says that in general, when it comes to brachas, we should do it in a way that's not that public. It should not be that obvious, because otherwise there's a concern of an ayin hara. So it said, Amrlei, so the father asked, my Amrlach, what did they tell you? So he repeated, Hachi v'achi Amrlei, this is what they said. Amrlach, hanach kula brachas ninu. Everything they told you was actually a bracha. Tizr v'lo techtzid, tell it banim, you should have the zchus of having children, v'loyim musul, and they should have children. They shouldn't die. That the bracha was that you should have children that are worthy to live. Tayev loy tepek, tayel kalsoch, your son should marry women. And in those days, it was most common that the women lived, the daughter-in-laws came to live in the son's parents' home. V'loy meisa banach, and they should your son should never die, the leifkun, that they should leave your home. Tepek v'loy tayel, tayel bantsu, your daughters should get married. And as we just learned, when they get married, they went to their husbands' homes, and they should not come back. Their husbands will never die. That they're going to come back to your home. They're never going to have to come back because they'll live long, happy lives with their husbands. This world, Olam Hazeh, is just temporary. Via Alma, Olam Haba is where we have a bias. The Ksiv, Kirbam Batemul Oilam. Atikur Kirbam El Kvarim. And what we're saying was, Lichr Besa, and what we're saying was that your home should be destroyed. You should not go into the caver. You should be able to stay long life. Lababa Besarich, there should be a big mess by your table. Bebanech, Bebanah Benasa, they should have many children and grandchildren. And when you have Baruch Shem, a large family, there's a mess by the table. Your wife shouldn't die. Because when you get married, you're going to have a shana rishona. And if you don't ever get married again, because your first wife remains with you, then you'll, Baruch Hashem, never have to have a second shana rishona. Rav Shimon ben Chalafta, iftim in name of the Rav. Amalei lebrei, zil gabed l'rocha. Amalei, so he said, Shimon ben Chalafta said to Rav son, Ye Rava, the loy tavayish, you shouldn't embarrass other people, and loy tazbayish, and you shouldn't get embarrassed. Also, Gabavu, he came to his father, Amalei, my Amalach, what did they tell you? Amalach, milim ba'alma. So he said, they told me words that I don't really understand. Hud Amalei. Amalei, Baruch HaBaruch, said the Baruch and Kachi Baruch Yisrov Atan Abba. He gave you the bracha that Kachi Baruch gave Klai Yisrael twice. The Ksiv, Vachaltem, and then the next pasuk in Yoel Perek Bay says, "V'yadati k'v'dekar v'yisrael ani v'loyivoshu ami lo'olam." So the Sefer Ben Yoyada explains this Gemara, that the Gemara says that they said by the Simchas Beis Shoeva, that when we were young, we weren't embarrassed from what we, when we were old, we weren't embarrassed when we did young. He says that, what's pshat? He says a beautiful pshat. He says there was once a person who had a father who was very poor, and the son never, he had a son who didn't take care of his father. And the son had a son, that means this poor person's grandson, who's walking in the street one day, and he sees his grandfather sitting there amongst the poor people. And it was a very, very cold day. And he asked him, could you ask your father, who's my son, maybe he could send me a coat. I'm sitting out here in the freezing weather. So the son comes home, and he asks his father, perhaps is there a coat that we could send to our grandfather? So he says, yes, there's a coat up in the attic, an old coat. You could take that coat for my father, for your grandfather. He goes up and he takes the coat, and then he comes down and he sees that the son, this grandson, is cutting the coat in half. And he asks him, why are you cutting the coat? So he says, the reason I'm cutting the coat is because you put this coat away, this old coat away, for your father, my grandfather. But there's going to be a day that you're going to be an old man. And I'm preparing the coat for you. So half the coat I'm going to give now to my grandfather. And the other half I'll have put away for when you're an old man. He got the message that the way you treat your father is the way your children will treat you. That's what it says here. Asher is the Knesenu Shleboisa, Asher the Seinu Shleboisa is the Knesenu, Asher is the Knesenu Shleboisa Shiladenu. The way we act when we are young to our parents is the way that our children will act towards us when we become old. We learned in the Mishnah, Vaisa Isha Tachshita, a woman could put on makeup on Chol HaMoed. Tana Rabbanan, Elein Tachshita Noshim, what is including Tachshita Noshim, Kecheles, she could put eye makeup on, a Bekheses, she could make a hair, Mavira Alpanesh, she could put red blush on her face, Vikdam Mavera Saka Alpanesh Lamata, she could clean her area of the on the bottom. Says the Gemara, the visa of Chizda, the wife of Chizda Makashta Bampi Kalosa, she would put on makeup in front of her daughter-in-laws, even though she was an elderly woman. Yosef Hunabachin Bachin and a Kamedra of Chizda, Yosukama, Loy Shanu, El Yalda. A young woman is allowed to put on makeup. I was a Kaina Loy. But not an elderly people, because elderly women don't have to put on makeup. Amale Holakim, he said a shvua. I feel imach, even your mother. I feel imah the imach, your grandmother who's even older. I feel I met al kivra, a very old woman who's going to be close to death. Dami inchi bashitn kabashes, a 60-year-old woman. 60-year-old woman is like a 6-year-old girl. Lakal tavlarata. She is always happy to hear a good song. And just like she's always happy to hear music, women are always happy and need to put on makeup. Rabbi Yudama Leitasid, she shouldn't put on plaster on her body, Nation Nivalula. It causes her not to look nice. Tanya Rabbi Ish Leitasid, Nivalula. It causes her to look not nice. But if it's a treatment that could be removed in Chol HaMoed, she may take this treatment in Chol HaMoed, because even though it causes her uncomfort now, when it causes her skin to be nice, she'll be happy. Ask the Gemara that even though now it's uncomfortable, if ultimately it will be a good result, you're allowed to do it. Says the Gemara Vatanan, how we learned that 3 days, the Mishnah teaches us the beginning of Masechet Avodah Zarah, for 3 days before the Yom Tovim of the Nochrim, we should not do business with them, because if they'll be successful on their holiday, they'll go to their base Avodah Zarah. If you don't the Framahem, we are allowed to take payment for a debt from them. They aren't happy if they have to pay up their obligations. Amaloi, and the Chum disagree, and they say, Api Meitzer Achshav, they may be unhappy when they have to pay it up, but then when they realize that they got this debt off their heads, Samechu Lachazman. So we see that Rabbi Yehuda doesn't agree with the concept that if it makes us ultimately happy, it's considered something you're allowed to do. All Hilchos Moed, everything we're allowed to do in Chol HaMoed is based on the concept of Meitzer Achshav V'Sameich L'Achazman. Ravina Amar, Kuti L'Inyan Parayin L'Oyla Meitzer. We can't bring a riot from there because a Nochri is never happy about paying up his debt. But here, the woman is ultimately happy when she has this treatment. And since she's ultimately happy when she has that treatment, then the halacha is you're allowed to do it. You're allowed to have the treatment on Chol HaMoed. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, B'nais Yisrael Shegiel Perkin, a Jewish girl who came to the age of maturity. Body looks like it's mature, but they're not really that age yet. So then what do they do to slow down the maturity? Hanias Teiflis is Abbasid. Poor girls use plaster. Ashiris Oysters Basilis. Wealthier people use flour. But nice Melachim use Shemen Amor. As it says in the Megillah, Shisha Chadoshim is Shemen Amor. Ask them, am I Shemen Amor? Ravuna Bachia Oma Sitkis. It's a type of oil that they put spices into. Rav Yirmi ba'ami amar, semen zayis shloi vishlish. Olive oil from olives that weren't a third ripe yet. Tanya b'yudayma, a fiknin is shem zayis shloi vishlish. V'lam asaychon asay, why would somebody use it? Shemeshis asar, it causes the excess hair on the body to fall off. U'madin es abasar, and it causes the skin to glow. Says the Gemara, bibi havelei barta, of a tafla that had excessive hair, and he did this treatment with the plaster. Eva, but one limb at a time. Shokaba, and she became so beautiful that when it came to marry, he got for her a tremendous dowry, Abba Meizuzi. Hava who cut the said there was a knocker in his neighborhood and had the same issue, and he gave his daughter the same treatment. But he did it, tafla b'chadzmana. He covered the entire body with plaster in one time. Amesa, and she wasn't able to withstand that treatment, and she passed away. Amma kotla biti labarti. Rabibi caused my daughter to die. Amma Rav Nachman, Rabibi the shasi shikra. Rabibi would drink a lot of beer, which causes the growth of hair, and that's why Bayim Banse Tifla, his daughters had to go through this treatment. However, Anan, the loy shasin and shikra, we don't drink beer, we only drink wine. Like Bayim Banse Tifla, our daughters don't have excessive hair and are not in the need of this type of a treatment.